Well, I am excited about the message that the Lord's laid on my heart for this morning. And during the month of April, the series has been entitled The Best Version of You. And the aim of this is to realize that there's a plan God has for your life. And as we align with that plan and realize who we are and what He's given us, that's going to be the best version of you. That's the life He created for you to live. We talked about God's hand on you in week one. We talked about God's plan for you in week two. Last week on Easter Sunday, we talked about God's Spirit in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you now. And today, I want to talk about God's gifts to you. God's gifts to you. Now, His gifts to you are many, really. Think about it. When you got saved, you were given the gift of eternal life. Ephesians 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Isn't that awesome that you were given the gift of eternal life? You were adopted into God's family. You now are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You know the Bible says that you have an inheritance in heaven that is reserved for you, and it is being kept by the power of God? Yeah. I mean, God's done that for you. That's the gift. Do you know when you got saved, we saw last week, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in your life? The Holy Spirit is a gift Himself. He is a gift given you by the Lord. And it's amazing. Do you know the Bible says that concerning your needs, that there are riches in glory that you can access by faith, and God will supply your need according to those riches in glory by Christ Jesus? I mean, when salvation showed up in your life, God came bearing all kinds of gifts and just unloaded them on you. That was worthy of that amen I heard. Let's thank Him for that. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. And so that's really incredible. Really incredible. But I want you to think about this. It may be that someone you meet this week somewhere on the journey that's before you, it may be that God's gift that He wants to share with them is you. You may very well be God's gift to someone. How does that work? Because when you realize with all the things that you've been gifted with, and you realize His hand's on your life, that He's got a good plan for your life, that His Spirit's living in you, and He's equipped you with gifts, you do have something to offer. And we'll see today, not only that, but you're expected to be that gift in someone else's life. As every man has received the gift, even so minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The Apostle Peter reminds us of that. And we're going to be looking at 9 of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some people say there's only 9, but the Bible really shares more than 9 gifts. But we're going to look at those 9 power-loaded gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. I'm going to begin with just making some overview statements about these gifts, and then we'll drill down and look at those. But the goal today is to encourage you to know God's lavished you with gifts, and the Holy Spirit's given you at least a gift, and that you are to be a gift. And we're not going to be the best version of ourselves if we don't understand that. It's not about boasting. It's not about showboating. It's about being who God created you to be and realizing God wants to use me to love on other people, to bring blessing into the lives of other people, to help provide guidance to the lives of other people. There's so many ways that God will choose to use you if you will just make yourself available. As I've heard numbers of times, through my 40-plus years of ministry, God's much more interested in your availability than He is your ability. And I would even add to that, beyond your human skill set, if Thank God for that. Beyond your natural abilities, thank God for that. Beyond the knowledge you've gained because of your study and your efforts and so forth, beyond all that, God wants His Holy Spirit to manifest in your life to bless someone else's life. And when it happens that way, they know it's not you, but Him. And that's what we're after, that they may see our good works, they may see your good works, and glorify Him. Now, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read some verses there. Then I'm going to put some information on the screen for you this morning. But I just want to read this passage over you, because when we get to the gifts, this is the passage that they come from. But I want to do that now right up front and just bathe you with God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. And as I do most Sundays, I'm using the New King James Version. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, which were loaded to the gill with gifts, he says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit," that means the Holy Spirit will appear, will break out, there will be something happening that people will know this is God. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one," he's talking to believers, "to each one for the profit of all." He gives it to you to bless other people, for the profit of all. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit, same Holy Spirit for all of us, works all these things," now listen to this, "distributing to each one individually as He will." Now, just with a casual reading of that, that seems to suggest to me that He's actually the one that's doing this. He chooses what gift you're going to operate in. These are not attained by human merit or effort. And we're going to see this. Let me just make some quick statements about the gifts. Every believer has a gift. You heard that, to each one? Okay, but here in Romans chapter 12, now there's two chapters in the New Testament that spend more time talking about gifts than others, and it's Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And by the way, you can put both of these together, and you'll realize there's more than 9 gifts, and there's other places. I know Wagner's book back 30 years ago when I was reading that, I think he had like 27, 28 gifts he had found in the New Testament. I think the answer to that is the Holy Spirit, since He's the one that's distributing, I think He can manifest in whatever way He wants to through whomever He wants to, so He can release to you and through you what's needed for that purpose, for that assignment. And so I think we're probably being a little too rigid just to say there's 9 gifts. That's all I'm going to say about that. But I want to say this. Every believer has a gift. Notice what it says. "Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." But it begins with that word, "having." You have a gift. Say this out loud with me. I have a gift as a believer in Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit gives me. Now, in saying that, I am not saying that each person has a singular gift of the Spirit. That's not my viewpoint, nor do I believe it to be an accurate reading of Scripture. Because, again, we just read, you heard me read it, the Holy Spirit distributes to each one as He will. I don't think it works this way. Well, I'm going to give this gift to Anna Laura. Then he goes up here and like, Anna Laura really needs a word of wisdom, but I already given her a gift, so, you know, it doesn't work that way. Now, he can bring the word of wisdom through someone else. The idea is, across the body, the Holy Spirit's doing things to bless people, to glorify God. And we don't want to overinterpret or to make it too narrow. He's the distributor of the gifts. So Every believer has a gift. Let's move on. Second statement. Gifts are for sharing, not comparing.
This message is given directed at your ego.
Gifts are for sharing, not for comparing. Notice what it says. Having these then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. This word grace is the Greek word charis, and the gifts, word for gifts that we read, both here and in 1 Corinthians 12, is the Greek word charismata. It's where we get the word charismatic. And so there's a divide in evangelical camps. You have charismatics and non-charismatics. I want to be charismata person. That just simply means we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I would add this to that. We believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, people that don't believe the gifts are for today believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They just believe the early church had some of them, and we get a few of the ones that God still allows to function. But that's not in the Bible, you know, because the same Holy Spirit's still here. And I don't think just because some theologian sent him a memo that he's not supposed to be doing that today that it shut him down. There's still a need for words of knowledge and words of wisdom and working of miracles and gifts of healing. Why? Because people are still dumb and do stupid things, and people are still in need of guidance, and people are still dealing with sickness and struggling, and people still have demons, and somebody needs to discern them, and people still need to not be so driven by elitism and cerebral thinking and intelligentsia type thinking. To realize that God may want to say something, you don't know a clue what he's saying, but you're going to say it anyway. And so you let tongues operate in your life. They're not for showboating. They're not for comparing. Like, well, I wish I had that. That's just such a powerful gift. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to love on people with God's love and show people that God's real and to show that God can use people that are broken and have been lost and undone that have met Jesus and their life has changed and now they're doing good stuff for God. And things are happening that you can't explain in human terms. Third statement, these gifts are spiritual and supernatural. These are not things that happen because of your human abilities, your skill sets, your natural talents. Thank God for all of those. Those are needed. They have their place. We give God glory for that. But spiritual gifts are divinely given enablements that are supernatural manifestations of the Spirit of God. When a person that doesn't know something all of a sudden is made to know something by God through a revelation given. Or something happens that has the doctors scratching their heads, the x-rays lying to us, and all that kind of stuff. It happens, it defies the laws of nature. It's supernatural. It can't be naturally explained. Isn't it amazing how even Christian people can race and work hard to try to explain something that God did with natural explanations? Well, it could have been this, and it could have been that, and it could have. And they don't ever stop and say, but it could have also been God. They usually leave that part out. And maybe most of us have been guilty of that in more ways than we realize. Because God is not always our first go-to. These gifts are spiritual and supernatural. According to the grace, the charis, the grace. The grace is the desire and the power to do the will of God. Grace is a divinely imparted strength, energy, source of power that operates in you, enabling you to do what you could not do naturally. Grace is a sign you are partnering with God to bring something about in the realm of earth. And so, these gifts are spiritual and supernatural because the gas they run on is grace. You can't find it on Walmart's site. You can't have it delivered to your front door by Amazon. It has to come vertically by the desire of the Father, released in your life through the power of the Spirit, and manifests from you to the glory of God. It is spiritual. It is supernatural. Fourth statement, these gifts are given, not earned in any way. Notice what it says. According to the grace that is given to us. And when I was transitioning the service and we're singing this song, that just kind of all came together for me in a moment of, you know, folks, it really is Jesus. That in some ways, that takes all the pressure. You know, as someone who ministers, I have to die to the fact that I can somehow work something up or somehow make something happen. So matter of fact, if I have the desires to do either of those things, then I'm getting off base. But if I somehow can die to Eddie Lawrence in a moment and say, Lord, I am helpless without you. I don't know what you know and I can't see what you see, but if there's something you know I need to know or something you see I need to see, here I am, Lord. You can't pull some cosmic slot machine lever and get revelation. You can't lay money on a table and have someone look at the palm of your hand or call a 900 number and have some misguided person share revelation with you. They're getting in illegitimate means. The enemy works overtime to get you to run to that for your answer from the spirit realm. And I have known good Christian people that have been in church for years and have heard good preaching. I mean, been taught well from the pulpit. Still divert to things like that, hoping to get an answer, to get some guidance about what's going on or what they need to know. Oh, you can get some answers. And you can get some guidance. It may sound good, look good, make you feel wonderful. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Got to move on. Number five, we are accountable for how we use these gifts. Notice how that verse ends. Let us use them. It's not a free-for-all. It's when we're talking about spiritual gifts, and to even say, the Lord is speaking to me, or I feel like this is what the Lord is saying, I think we should be humble for the most part in how we do these things. In other words, leave room for human error. And there's sometimes the boldness can come, and you know that you know that you know, and boom! But if it's not one of these times, don't know that you know that you know, and boom! Am I making sense? Sometimes it's like, the best I can discern, I feel like this is what the Lord is saying. If the Holy Spirit, if you're talking to another believer, the Holy Spirit is resident in them, and they can bear witness whether that's God or not. Do you know that sometimes both of you can be in the good place and both of you are hearing the Lord and it still be like that? Because you may be missing the timing. You may be discerning something the Lord's wanting you to pray for and not deliver. And it messes the timing up, or you may not be the person the Lord wants you to use. There's so many givens. That's the reason I camp out a lot of times in John 5 when Jesus himself testifies how he lived his life. I only do what I see the Father doing. There can be a lot of things that are good and God that we could do, but is God leading you to do those things at this time in this way for that person? Jesus said, he only. But what does only mean? You got a revelation back there. Now, let's jump from these statements to the gifts. Let's survey the gifts that I read earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we can't spend a whole lot of time because there are nine of them. And some of you have dinner plans and we'll start hearing stomachs growling and all that stuff. And so let's jump in them and run. I want to divide it this way. We're going to talk about revelation gifts, three of them. I'm going to talk about power gifts, three of them. I'm going to talk about vocal gifts, three of them. That'll be the nine. Again, I've already told you there's more than nine. If you're, you know, you'll have gifts that operate that may not be on this list. Also, you'll understand that there's overlap in these. When I've got revelation gifts, which is God's mind revealed to you, something God knows that He wants you to know for a specific purpose and reason. But that's also, in order to share that with somebody, requires your voice. So there's a vocal aspect of that. They overlap, so don't get put off if it doesn't fit in the box just completely. I know they don't. There's an overlap, but I'm trying to make it a simple way to go through these nine. So I'm going to hush talking about that and just do it. Revelation gifts. God's mind revealed to us. There's word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Let's talk about each of those. A word of wisdom, the Greek word for wisdom is the word Sophia, like philosophy. Sophia, the study of wisdom. This is not talking about the wisdom you have gained from studying the great philosophers. And I'll include the front porch philosophers. Okay? This is talking about the wisdom from above. Do you know the Bible says there's a worldly wisdom and a wisdom that comes from God above? You know the Bible teaches us that there's a different attributes and characteristics around wisdom that's from above. You can study that. Peter talks about that. But a word of wisdom is simply God's solution or God's answer for a situation or a problem that someone is facing. I got a problem. I need to hear from God. It's like God giving you a strategy of how to handle the situation you're in. Now, God may give you a word of wisdom for your problem or your situation, but remember the general principle, the Holy Spirit gives a word of wisdom to someone for the profit of all. God likes to see His kids partnering with Him to blessing each other and receiving from each other, but knowing in what they're receiving from one another that it's coming from Daddy God. This is one of the beautiful things about the gifts flourishing in the body of Christ, but the gifts aren't just for to share with the body of Christ. Oh no, they're for to be used with lost people, people that are outside the camp. God can use that as a springboard to open their eyes to the fact that He's God. And Paul gets into that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, chapters 13 and 14 as well. Those three chapters are loaded with information about how spiritual gifts function. And we're not getting into all of that today. That's the word of wisdom. Let me give you an example. Last night, Mick and I had the joy of going up to Mark and Melody McKissick to their encounter. And thank y'all for that. It's amazing their meeting. They've been doing this, they said, about 13 years on a monthly basis for the most part. And it's just wonderful. I told them, I felt like the Lord was showing me that He's used them to prepare a table of the Lord there for that area. And it's just a blessing. So we were there. And during the worship, Jake and Rachel did a great job. Love you guys. The Lord gave me a picture of something, and I heard Him speaking, and then two or three things like that. Well, because I knew I was going to be ministering and I would have the opportunity to minister, I just tucked those back and said, Lord, okay, just Holy Spirit, bring this to my remembrance at the right time. And so we had a time of ministry at the end, and so I didn't know who it was for, but I knew that it was a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom joined together. Because the Lord showed me a picture, and I couldn't see the person's face, but I saw a person, a huge boulder was laying, kind of like a Wile E. Coyote-looking thing. You know, we're Roadrunner and the boulder falls on Wile E. Coyote. It's like everything had collapsed and just squished them. They're under this everything collapsed on top of them. But then it's like I saw this person was out from under the boulder, and they were doing good. And I heard the Lord say, they're in the middle of a heavy-duty decision, and they're being tempted to do something, and it's not time yet. They're not ready yet. And so you need to share with them, this is kind of a word of caution, share with them, it's not time yet. The Lord says, just be a patient for a little longer, and then He'll have you prepared for what you're going to be facing that's coming. That's just a general thing to me. That's what I was seeing. Then that was followed. I didn't see that in the same picture frame, but then that was followed, and I heard the word of the Lord coming and just saying, little Joey's going to be all right. So, now let me talk, because I want this to be instructive, and it may work differently with different people. The only way I know to teach this is the way that it comes to me and operates with me. And again, I'm not saying this is the cookie cutter for everybody. The Holy Spirit can do it like He wants to, right? But this is kind of the way I've learned to discern it. So I'm worshiping, and that a lot of times when I'm getting revelation, it's when I'm lifting up Jesus and just worshiping. You know, you get lost in the worship and quieten yourself, and then you can hear better. And so during ministry time, I just shared, listen, during worship, the Lord showed me this picture. And the Lord had also told me that this happened about 6 months ago. It's like end of October or in November. That time frame is when this happened. It's like everything collapsed on you. And now you're up on your feet and you're doing better. But the Lord says you've got to be patient, because you're making a decision and you're gonna step out too soon. The Lord says you need to be patient. You're not quite ready yet. I said, does this mean anything to anybody? And a lady upstairs, because they have a balcony in their living room area, and she raised her hand and she said, that's me. And she said, last October, November, just like you said, like everything collapsed on me, you know, everything fell apart, and she mentioned some things. And so I said, well, obviously you're out from under that, because you're here on a Saturday night worshiping Jesus. She said, yes, she had been in Hope Center. Is like a recovery ministry. And she said, during that 6 months, and I said, well, has there been some decision you've really been weighing? She said, yes, I've really been struggling, because I'm thinking about stepping out and just going ahead and stepping and going back, you know, to my life before recovery. Not, she wasn't saying going back into the stuff, but, you know, re-engaging her normal life again. And I said, well, and this is where I think it, I could have said, well, you've just heard the word of the Lord. You stay put, lady. You know, I could have took that approach, but I felt like the proper way to do it is to say, now, you need to take this before the Lord and pray through it. But it seems to me the Lord is saying to you, you need to wait a while longer. Well, the lady standing behind her saying, I've been telling her that. You know, that it's too soon. She's not quite ready yet. So what was that? That was a word of wisdom for that particular woman, and there was a bunch of people there, but God was just loving on her. That was His way of saying, I know who you are, and I know how you're struggling with this, but here's what I need you to do. And I think she received that and understood it. So I'm thinking, yay, Jesus! So, because I'd been struggling where I was going to mention, I just heard the phrase, little Joey's going to be all right. I mean, that's kind of a, well, what if nobody knows Joe? You get into all these, even if you've been doing it years, it always requires faith. So I said, well, I was also hearing, I don't know if it goes with this situation or it's different, but little Joey's going to be all right. Does anybody know, have a Joe, or anyone here named Joey? Or, well, the lady that had said, I've been telling you, she said, well, I've got a younger brother. His name's Joey. Well, tell us about it. He's in jail. And I said, well, you know, have you been burdened? You've been praying? Oh, yeah. Well, two times in that work, in their gathering, and one time in the worship, a couple times together, Mark and Melody had stopped and really focused on prodigals, about praying for prodigals and exhorting, you know, do you stand on God's word and you declare those promises? And it's really good. But this became a word for her. For her little brother, Joey. And the word was, little Joey's going to be all right. So the Lord was encouraging her, you know, you keep praying, I'm at work. And so we just stopped and prayed collectively for Joey. Thank you, Lord, that you're moving in Joey's life. You're opening his heart to Jesus. He's going to turn around. Joey's coming home. He's going to be all right. So that was, again, a word of knowledge. And the other, a word of wisdom. So those are two there, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Wisdom is God's solution for a problem or a situation that's given supernaturally. And then the word of knowledge comes in when you are told something by the Lord that you don't know in the natural. I have found through the years it's easier to minister around people I don't know. That way, if I'm getting stuff, I don't have to filter it out. Did I hear this at the coffee shop? Did I hear this? You know, no, this is it's just easier. But, so, the word of knowledge will come like that. It may be a picture. It may be a feeling. It may be a knowing. It could be like an internal vision, like a video playing in your mind. It can be an external vision, like watching a video clip on YouTube, you know, just playing out in front of you. The Holy Spirit operates this way. It is, remember, it is spiritual and it is supernatural. So word of knowledge is something you don't know in the natural. Just like I didn't know who it was, but someone, little Joey, named Little Joey, was on God's heart. We found out it was on God's heart because it was on that woman's heart. And he got other people partnered with her in that intercessory prayer. And I think we're going to hear a good testimony at some point about what God's done in Joey's life. That's the functioning of the gifts. And then there's, and I'll come back to this in a moment about the word of knowledge, because very often it can be used in gifts of healing. Okay? These gifts can work in combination. Discerning of spirits. This is your Holy Spirit radar. And I don't think someone like that operating in a gift of discernment, I'm not willing to. There's been times God's used me in discerning spirits, but I'll just speak for myself. I certainly don't think everywhere I go and every person I see I can discern what's going on with them. Just like I can't walk into any building and know I'm going to get a word or not. The Holy Spirit distributes to each one as He wills. It's not like it's on call that you say, well, I've got this gift, so it's going to function right now. No, you're only doing what the Father does. And so when He shows you a vision, then that's the first step, right? And so forth. So discerning of spirits, I break it down this way. It's the ability to discern, that word discern, diakrisis. It's kind of like the study to show yourself approved, rightly divide. It's cutting things straight. Seeing how to correctly see in a situation. And I like to divide it into three dimensions. They're discerning if this is of heaven, discerning if this is human, or discerning if this is of hell. Or is this God, is this the devil, or is this flesh? You know? But it transcends that as well. I think it can also be God giving you discernment in a moment of time, in a particular situation, maybe concerning a certain relationship, God giving you discernment of something ulterior that's going on in motives, something behind the scenes. Because the devil can't hide anything from the Holy Spirit. But the devil certainly can't discern everything God's doing or understand everything God's saying. We'll get to that when we get to tongues. I think that's the ability we can pray in a language the devil can't decode. Okay? So, discerning of spirits. This is I've seen this operate a lot in deliverance ministry. When someone's open, I met with, and Pastor Larry met with me the other day, we met with a young man that had a need for deliverance. And I won't get into the details, but during that time, I know with Pastor Larry, there were a couple things the Lord brought to his mind that helped us discern which way we needed to pray in the area of deliverance. And same thing with me, that through us working together, we were able to guide this young man in renouncing, repenting, and receiving from the Lord what he needed in those areas of his life. That's binding and loosing things and imparting things. And so, we believe he was really blessed by it, by his own testimony. This is the second time that I had met with this young man, and it's amazing that when he came the second time, how much different he was, how much more open, how much work God had done in his life. So sometimes these are not one-and-done situations, you know, and sometimes it's not because God can't do it. is because the person is not in the place where you can lead them any farther. So again, there's a sense in which you have to utilize discernment and how you discern and what you do with the discernment. Let's move on. I need to, for time's sake, let's talk about some power gifts here. And there's three of them: faith, gifts of healings, and working of miracles. This would be God's hand working through you. We saw those first three gifts, like God helping you know something He wants you to know. Here, this is more of God's hand, a power, if you will, His power being released through a gift that is functioning in your life. Again, to love on people, to help people, to heal people, to lead them into wholeness, and so forth. I love to say blessing, beauty, and benefit, because that was what Adam and Eve were surrounded with, and I believe that's our life in Christ. We should be looking for blessing, beauty, and benefit in everything. We won't be used to add those dimensions to the world. So faith. All of us have been given a measure of faith. When you got saved, you utilized faith. You put your trust in Jesus Christ and you were saved. That's saving faith. And then there's we walk by faith. This is daily faith. And our faith is built by spending time in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith can be built by prayer and fasting. This kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. You know, well, how does that relate to faith? Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." He casts the demon out and tells them, this kind can come out only by prayer and fasting. In other words, if you had been praying and fasting more, you would have had enough faith to see this happen. And so forth. So you can build up your most holy faith praying in the Holy Spirit. But the gift of faith, again, the Holy Spirit distributes to each one. Our faith that we live by and walk by, is we can build that up by doing the things the Scripture tells us to do. But the gift of faith, again, is a divine enablement, where it's like the Holy Spirit just downloads this special faith into your chest. And there's a boldness and a knowing that, oh, this is God. This is a done deal. Boom! And I love it when it happens. There's been times when I've prayed with people, and I knew before we prayed God was going to do it. It's just like there was a gift of faith. Now, I want to confess my ignorance here. I don't understand how all this works. But I am growing in my understanding is just be humble and let God do what He wants to do. But when this gift of faith comes, I believe when our elders were seeking the Lord, and it was kind of amazing when we look back, because we were looking at some different options about more space, and it's just like, boom! We need to build a new building. We talked about it before, but it had never been to the forefront. It's like we'd look at everything. Well, we decided we were going to do it, and we were able to buy the property, and then the banks were... I went to a number of banks. I'm sorry, we just don't believe you can do this. Well, God had a different plan, but God gave us the faith for where we are. Well, if you'd had more faith, you wouldn't have had to take out a loan. Where were you when we needed you? It took a lot of faith to buy the property and do what we did. It's easy when God just gives you a check up front to pay for it all. But there's a lot of people that sit on the seat of do nothing and they're still waiting for that check. When God's saying, can you trust me day by day? Can you trust me? And I'm not getting into the borrowing versus the loan and all that. I thank God we're sitting here with a building that's worth almost twice what we owe on it right now, if you look at it that way, because we took a step of faith. But God just, there was, a gift of faith. And guess what? When we bought the property, while we're paying it off, the Lord gives me a vision. I see a building. I didn't understand it fully when I received it. I've shared it with you a number of times. I saw a building. Then I saw an angel come down on that grassy spot that's on the end of this building down there. And he said, I want you to launch the Institute of Creativity. And then I won't get into a whole vision. That didn't happen until we had procured the right place for that to happen. The one step of faith opened the heaven so the revelation could come to see what the future looked like. God works that way. Will you obey me and do this? Will you? Sometimes we want to go from 0 to 60 without working through the numbers. Doesn't work that way most of the time. When you're faithful in that which is least, then more is given. We go from faith to faith. Use the faith you got to grow the faith you need. And when you start living and walking that way, along the way you're going to need some acceleration. You're going to need a little extra help. Got to download the gift of faith. Boom! And then you do this thing, and then you're like, did I do that? I can't believe we've done this. Oh, God. But God comes through. Because He ordered it. He will pay for it. That's the gift of faith. And more could be said about that, but I'm not saying. Gifts of healing. I'll talk about this one. I love to talk about this one. It's plural. There's different. It's almost like there's healings for arthritis. There's healings for cancer. There's healings for bone issues. There's healings for this. It's healings for that. When you go to the doctor and he diagnoses you or she diagnoses you, and they'll write out a prescription. Like, here is a medication for this specific issue. And by the way, I am not anti-medicine or anti-doctors. I'm not. If you are, that's between you and the Lord. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. So if it's helping people, if it's good for, can it be abused? Yes. Is it abused? Yes. Should we always go to doctors first? No. Seek first. Always go to the Lord. And then you go to the doctor, say, Lord, give my doctor wisdom. If it's good, I'm trusting you're going to work through this. There's people sitting under the sound of my voice this morning that because God had gifted men with knowledge and wisdom, and that they were able to open up your chest, work on your heart, and you're alive today because of it. Well, if they had had faith, they wouldn't have had to done that. I know there's some of you that way. I love you very much. But every good and perfect gift, when God created the Garden of Eden and put all those plants in there, they were God's idea. And Adam and Eve were going to eat them. You have the tree of life. I just think there's God put good stuff in the earth that we can use that are good for us. You overuse them and you become uninhibited. That's wrong. You're not in control anymore. That substance is. That's a sidebar. Let's get back to this. Gifts of healing. And they can function with other gifts. I've talked about the word of knowledge. Meek and I were praying for a young lady last night and praying for her, just general prayers. And right before I finished, I started, and I'm just explaining how it works for me, okay? When I was praying for her, I started getting a piercing pain in my inner ear. Okay? It's pulsating. Well, I haven't been having inner ear issues or anything. I've learned to discern when it's mine and when it's not. And I knew this is for her. So when I stopped praying, I said, have you been having issues with your inner ear, having pain? And she said, yes, and reaches up to her ear. This way, and she puts her hand on her ear on the side. I'm on the side, and it's on it's that mirror thing, and she her eyes got big. I said, "Well, we're going to pray, and then when it leaves, you'll know this is God, right?" Yeah. Mickey and I prayed just a very simple prayer. We just bind this inner ear pain. Thank you for loving on her, Lord. You've revealed this. We believe that what you reveal, you heal. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And then, boom, her eyes got big. Her pain left. And Mickey can testify that it was just a sweet, precious, precious thing to see her realizing, God did this for me. Because this is the purpose of the gifts. The Spirit manifesting the love of God, or the wisdom of God, or God's help for your need. It lets you know God cares about you. God knows what you're going through. It's spiritual and it's supernatural. Let's not relegate to what God wants to do in His people to only those things that we can explain in the natural. God is spirit. If He's working, it's spiritual. It's supernatural. This is temporal and material world we live in. And God's supernatural. He's above that. He transcends that. So there's gifts of healing. It's like the Holy Spirit knows what you need And he'll use you. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're doctors. I tell people that, listen, I'm not a medical doctor. I'll pray for you. I have people ask, should I stop taking my medicine? That's not my role. That's not my calling. You do what the Lord leads you to do. I'm not going to get between you and that. That's between you and the Lord. I had an occasion when the Lord told me to get off some medication, and in faith I responded. But if people are doing that and the Lord's not telling them to, if they're doing it because you're telling them to and the Lord's not telling them to, trust the Holy Spirit that lives in them. Say, you know, you may want to pray about this. This may be interfering. See your doctor. I want to honor those of you in the medical profession. Honor the time that you put in and the study. And there's lots of Christian doctors and nurses and practitioners out there and people that want to help you, chiropractors and so forth, that want to help you in your health. God can use them. They can be a gift to you in certain ways. But yes, begin by praying, asking the Lord, believing God for your healing. If He brings it that way, don't say, well, I didn't need God. They did this. If they're Christian, they don't want you talking that way. That's not good. You give God, thank them and give God the glory for it. That's my opinion. But it just so happens I'm the one given the opportunity to preach this morning. Working of miracles. Two Greek words, energeo, to work. We get the word energy from that. And miracles is the word dunamis, where it talks about dynamic power, like dynamite or a dynamo, perpetual power. This is your explosive power of God at work. And it's a working of miracles, certain things that God may lead you to do that result in a miracle coming about. People sometimes misunderstand the idea of miracle workers. There is a term about working a miracle in Scripture. This is that working of miracles, being obedient, handling a ministry situation in the way that God leads you to handle it. Jesus, sometimes he could just speak and open blinded eyes, lay hands on people, but if he only did what he saw the Father do, and there was one time when the Father said, I want you to get some dust in your fingertips, spit on it, make you a little spittle, a little mud. I want you to rub it in the man's eyes. Now that doesn't mean you need to get a baggie and put mud in it and keep it in your pocket. If somebody's having eye trouble. I did have a brother, he cried in telling me this. I was having a little eye issue, needed some stuff cleared up. And he started with me. He said, Pastor, I was his pastor. He said, the Lord spoke this to me. And he said, I won't do it if you don't want me to. He said, but I feel like the Lord said, I was supposed to take some spit and rub it in your eye. Now, I'll be honest with you. If it had been some guy that walked off the street, came in telling me that, I would have probably pulled the, listen, I'm supposed to know those that labor among us, and so I don't know you, so no thank you. But I knew this brother. He had been with me on many ministry trips, and I'd seen him minister. I knew his heart. You know what I did? I said, brother, I trust that you're hearing from the Lord. He spit on his finger, and he rubbed it in my eye. And in a day or so, my eye was fine. But he was just trying to be obedient to what the Lord was saying. But he allowed me to discern too. So we were in agreement. He could do what he felt the Lord was leading him to do, and I could receive it. I think that's important. The working of miracles. And man, I'm watching those old T.L. Osborne videos, and I was going back over some of my testimonies I wrote down when I was in Almalonga last year with Mark and Robin and Pastor Mariano telling the stories. He talked about when the revival broke out there and people would see fire coming out of the windows and doors. You know what he said? There were a number of preachers that had no training, had not been to school, and couldn't even speak the language well. God supernaturally downloaded to them those abilities. In other words, they became powerful preachers of the Word and articulate. God can do stuff like that. Jesus himself said, with God, all things are possible. Are we still with God? Is God still with us? Is He? Well, then what? All things are possible. In other words, don't just accept, well, that's impossible. Not with God. And again, I will admit, I don't understand how all this works. I've walked with people through sickness and illness and prayed with them, and I've seen them do everything the Scripture says, and we've done everything the Scripture says, and the Lord called them home. Now, I know they were ultimately healed, and I have peace with that. But I've just settled in my heart. I don't fully comprehend and understand the ways of God. But to the best of my ability, I'll war with people. I'll pray. I'll contend. I want to pray for those that are sick. Yes, I'll agree with you. I'll contend with you. There have been times I've prayed for people that I believe lived a full life and praying for them. But in my heart, I just felt like, you know, the Lord's calling them home. But it's all right. They fulfill their purpose in their generation. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, and the things that we can know, He'll reveal to us. The problem that we sometimes have is we want to begin to reveal to people things God hadn't revealed to us. Fill in the blanks that are missing. And in order to have a clear conscience, I can't just go there. God knows more than you and I know. And He can do things any way He wants to. He's not going to violate His character. Quickly, these last three. Prophecy, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. These are vocal gifts. Prophecy, speaking forth a word from the Lord. It will edify, it will comfort, it will encourage. I saw Mark doing that last night. Different people praying for different people, getting prophetic words. A lot of you, I believe all believers have an element of the prophetic anointing that they can operate in, just declaring the promises and the Lord showing them things. And then there's some people, I think, have a higher level. There's some people that walk in the office of a prophet. They're established, they're known, their gift has made a way from them. The Spirit manifests in them in maybe more accurate, more frequent, more powerful ways. And over time, people begin to recognize that mantle on their life and that's acknowledged. But prophecy, we're specifically told we are not to despise prophesying. But yet it's often maligned. And the prophetic can also have a cautionary element to it at times. It can be a forthtelling, something that we see in the future. But we're dialing things in that way, or getting things in that way, dialed into us. We see in part. We know in part. And we can get in trouble when we're getting a piece of the puzzle and decide we know what the whole puzzle looks like. You've just tried to switch roles with the Holy Spirit, because He'll distribute to you what you need to see. And it's just a temptation to try to fill in the blanks. Try to finish the whole house when the Lord's just shown us one piece of furniture in the closet. Different kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. I'll make this very brief. Worship team, you can go ahead and be preparing. This is the most controversial of the gifts. Paul said, though I speak in the tongues of men and angels and have not love. Chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians tells us, and I've been mentioning this all along, God's doing this because He wants to love on people. If we're using the gifts in a way that's downgrading people, mistreating people, being rude to people, being mean to people, discouraging people, we've just taken chapter 13 out. We must do it in love. We must realize God's saying, this is the way I want to love on people. That means we need to be lovable when we're using these gifts. That doesn't mean that sometimes we're not firm and sometimes I can get intense, and Mickey has to remind me, you look like you were mad. But I wasn't. I was just being intense. So I tried to, Lord, help me to come across the right way, because I don't want something in Eddie to interfere with something the Spirit's wanting to do through Eddie. To treat people lovingly, to treat them well. They're God's kids. Any of you school teachers, you know what it's like when a parent gets mad at you for mistreating their kids. And yet sometimes we want to mistreat God's kids. What are tongues? The ability to speak in a human language you've never learned is one way. What are tongues? It's the ability to speak in a heavenly language. Paul said the tongue of men and angels. So he saw that in the spirit realm, there can be like angelic tongues or heavenly tongues, spiritual tongues. You see, I don't believe the devil can interpret all those tongues. I believe when he fell, the Lord just changed some frequencies. Now he can observe. He can see where God's moving and working. And the prophets of God can get right in the enemy's inner room and know what the enemy's trying to do and up to. But they can't get in God's headquarters and get in on God's blueprint. And one way we partner with God is by praying in tongues, heavenly tongues. Well, that doesn't make sense to me. You got it. You got it. You're getting it. Because Paul said when we speak in one of these tongues, our mind is unfruitful. What's that mean? It means you don't have a clue what you're saying. Well, that doesn't make sense. People walking around praying and don't even know what they're praying. Well, you're missing something. You're missing the fact that it's the Holy Spirit in them that they are submitting to, and they're saying, Lord, you can use me to say whatever you want to say. I don't even have to know what you're saying because I know if you're saying it, it needs to be said, and I trust you. I trust my wife to speak on my behalf when she's not with me. I trust her to do that. And we need to learn to trust the Holy Spirit that He can say what He wants to say even though we may not know what He's saying. We can trust Him. So when you're praying in tongues, you're partnering with God in a sense, in the Spirit. And we don't know this. This is speculation. But it may be because Paul says though we speak in the tongues of men and angels that he was saying that when we're speaking in tongues that sometimes God is using us to even communicate with the angels. Well, God can just speak to them directly. He sure can. And I'm not about to take off praying to angels or any of that. But if I'm praying in the Spirit, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit praying. And since I don't know what He's praying, He can pray what He wants to who He wants to do what He wants to. You may be partnered with somebody you don't know for their lost son to come home to Jesus when you're praying in the Spirit. You position yourself to be partner with God to do whatever He wants to do in this earth realm or in the spirit realm to glorify Himself. Here I am, Lord, pray through me. And you build up your faith when you're doing that. Why? Because you are practicing trusting God even though you don't know what He's saying or praying through you. Well, what about these tongues in church when it gets quiet and somebody starts off in a tongue? That's a message in tongues. The reason for that is to release a message to humans to hear. Well, you just said they don't understand it. That brings us to that last gift. It needs to be interpreted. Those messages need to be interpreted. Well, how does that work? Well, a few times I've got an interpretation, and this is the way it worked for me. When someone's praying in a tongue, and I'm receiving and I'm listening, it's almost like in my spirit, my knower, I'm hearing the Lord tell me something or say something. And what He's doing, He's giving me the interpretation. We don't have any trouble if we had somebody from Russia up here this morning or like, you know, from the Ukraine. We just have the Ukrainian pastor. If they're speaking in their language and we have somebody translating, we understand that because we don't know what He's saying. So the translator is translating for us what He's saying. That's the interpretation of tongues. Except the Holy Spirit is saying something through an unknown tongue, through one person, and because God likes to use His kids to bless each other, He lets this child of His over here hear His message. And so they can interpret. Well, why not just let the second one speak? You can talk to God about that. Because when I read it, I don't think it's changed since I read it at the beginning of this message. The Holy Spirit distributes to each one as He wills. It's not your call. Well, it doesn't make sense. Not your call. If I had to choose between who's smarter, you or God, I'm going with Him. I love you, but I'm going with Him. Interpreting tongues. Much more could be said about that, but enough's been said. I want you to stand with me. Thank you for your patience this morning. We want to be a culture where the gifts of the Spirit... Listen, the gifts of the Spirit are not just for worship services. They can happen in worship services. But in the school and in the marketplace, where you work, at your informal gatherings, when you're socializing with people, people with whom you work, be sensitive to the Lord and let Him love on people through you. It may just be a word of encouragement, or God may lay a scripture on your heart. Whenever you think about that person, you think about that scripture. Duh! The Lord wants you to share that with them, to encourage them. And just, we're accountable for how we use these gifts. Hold up your hands a moment if you don't mind. Father God, in the name of Jesus, across this room, I ask that there be a stirring, a quickening, an awakening this morning. Lord, that we would boldly, in our day-to-day walk with you, Lord Jesus, just be open for the gifts to flow, the gifts to flourish. Lord, we all have different gifts. But thank you, Holy Spirit, that you desire to work through us and use us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your gifts you've given to us. Thank you for all the wonderful blessings that are ours that you have bestowed upon us. I'm going to ask our altar workers to come forward. We're going to do something a little different this morning as we conclude this service. They're going to be up here. And this is a little dangerous. I'm going to ask you out there. I'm going to ask you to pray a simple prayer in a few moments. And if the Lord gives you a word for someone, or you have a desire that arises in your heart to pray for someone about something, and don't try to think through what box you're going to put it in that I've talked about. Just say, Holy Spirit, do you want to use me to bless someone today? And I want to encourage you to step into that. And can we have a just kind of open atmosphere for a few moments here to receive? And some folks might miss it, but that's all right. I don't think there's going to be any malintent in that. Now, if somebody starts prophesying over you that Jesus is not Lord and he didn't come in the flesh, bring them on up and we'll discuss that with them, okay? But I trust the Holy Spirit to just work through you this morning to encourage one another. This altar's open if you need a prayer for healing. I just pray over these altar workers this morning, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that God would be present to heal, to encourage, to bless. I pray across this audience this morning, may the Holy Spirit have liberty in our hearts just to be a blessing to each other. In the mighty name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, let's all say it together. Holy Spirit, have your way. Bring glory to Jesus. Manifest the Father's love this morning through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now here's how we're going to dismiss. You're dismissed. But pray for a moment and see if the Lord wants to use you in some way. And it may be the Lord wants to bless you with someone else before you leave. But we'll just let this end when it ends. If it's 30 seconds or 30 minutes, that's fine. Holy Spirit, have your way. The worship team's going to begin to worship. Oh, Lord, we open our hearts to receive from you this morning. We open our hearts to receive from you this morning. And Todd, right now, I kind of think you knew this may have be coming at you. The Lord's showing me it's like tripped on a rock and like tumbling down a hill, that kind of picture. And it's like you're up and you're doing this and you're looking up. And it looks like a, like, kind of almost fearful of that mountain that's, you know, kind of, but the Lord says, no, it's just one step. It's just one step. And I'm telling you, young man, and since you're younger than I am, the Lord had his hand on you a long time. His plans haven't changed. He's got a restoration. This room is filled with those of us who have gone through tough times. I'm not trying to speak out of turn here. I'm just saying, Daddy God loves you. Every step you take along the way, He's been with you. And He's put inside of you treasures for other people. And don't you let anyone or anything or anybody keep that from flourishing in your life, because you're needed in the body of Christ. And I just heard the Lord say, son, I have need of you. Not that he needs anything, but it's like there's a gap you're going to plug. And I speak blessing over you, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And I just pray that the healing oil of the Lord Jesus be poured into your heart. A new day, a fresh anointing. To see the hand of the Lord, that's katalerzo, as Dutch would say, snapping you into place. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Others, you feel free to, I'm going to go on sharing. If I get anything, just start sharing with one another. If you're getting anything, I'm not trying to make you do anything, but if you're getting something, step out. Look around. Lord, is there someone you want me to share a blessing with? Come on up if you need prayer up here in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have an awesome afternoon. Have an awesome afternoon. Brother Bill, Sister Mary Lou, I just want to honor you. I feel this in my heart when I looked up there and I saw you. We're just so grateful for, it's like a boat going down the river, picture I'm seeing right now. And there's a weight behind that. And it's just like the weight that's behind you guys, even now in your walk, just being around you, there's just such a ambassadorship thing on you. There's such a gentleness that I see in your life. And just the love of Jesus. You're such encouragers, such supporters. Please know that you carry weight in the house of the Lord. And don't feel like you don't. You do. And you being here, it matters. And I bless you today. I bless you. I bless what you've done, who you are, what you mean, and what you continue to do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're getting an encouragement for someone, feel free to share that with people. In Jesus' name. There's someone, you're having like a shooting pain in your left ankle area. And I think the Lord just wanted to demonstrate some things here this morning. I want you to raise your hand, whoever that may be. It's in your left, back here, Donna. Some of you get right there. You have, as believers, you can lay hands on the sick. And we are believing right now that that pain is going to leave your body. We speak to it and we say to it, be gone in Jesus' name. And as hands are laid on you by your brothers and sisters, just receive that, dear sister, in Jesus' name. 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 Katie, back in the back, my attention's drawn to you. I just want to encourage you this morning. I feel like you certainly discerned this, but I feel like the Lord's saying it's like you are a leverage. It's like a crowbar, but a leverage bar in His hand, that He's positioned you, that God's going to use you to minister to people and separate them from that which that's been a struggle for them their whole life. And this relates to what you've been studying in that sense. But the Lord wants you to know that there's going to be a supernatural element on this. It's like when you take a lever bar and you'll be able to move it where you can't move it just out of your own strength. But you're going to be able to move people more into that wholeness and separate them from that burden, that weight they've struggled with so long. And I just bless you for your compassion and the love that you carry for children and young people. And I believe God's going to, there's going to be an effectual door open for you in that teaching profession. But know that when your hands touch these little ones, it's also the hand of the Lord that's going to be working. That there's through what you've learned, but that's going to be a healing anointing as well. It's going to accelerate all the other. It's just what's going to make it work in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, dear sister. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Rachel, the passion and for worship that you have. And you're a mixed bag, because I just see it's almost like looking through a kaleidoscope. There's all kinds of different things because you have such creativity that you carry, but yet there's an administrative thing that you walk in, and then this worship thing that you walk in. The Lord's putting something special into you. The amalgamation of those areas of your life is going to come together in something really unique. And so sometimes you may be pulled in the sense of, well, am I to do this? But my heart is to do this, but I want to do this. May I say, I feel like, I know this is an across-the-board statement, but I think it may be the Lord in all of those. He's moving them, but he's going to bring them into convergence. And it's going to be something different that you've never fully seen. So just keep being faithful, doing what you're doing, and the favor of the Lord is on it. And so grateful you're part of this house, and we love you guys. Brother Buddy, bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. I just thank God for the wisdom you walk in. You're probably the oldest one in the house this morning, but here you are. And I know that the valley you've walked through, and it's been really tough these last few years. But God bless you for the example that you are, for the person that you are, the wisdom that you carry. And when I see you, I'm just encouraged by seeing you back there. And I bless you today, brother. And we miss Miss Edith. She reminds me of like what I saw on Bill and Mary Lou, that same kind of thing. We love you, brother. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Mark, none of us can appreciate what you've had to go through, brother. I've always been amazed at how God's used you and the tenacity that you've had. Well, a lot of people would just hang it up and say, hey, I really don't need to be out there working, but you run a business. You keep other people employed. Your painting company's well known, do excellent work. But just that stick-to-itiveness, and you have a heart for those that are in recovery and carry that. But you're just a blessing. And I just want to speak blessing over you this morning to know that God is using you. And let's just agree, church, this morning, if it's all right with you, Mark, that I just pray that the Lord would touch your entire digestive system. He's had so much pain and issues with this. Father God, we lift our brother up to you who's kept going. He's kept walking even though he only has one leg, Lord. He's kept walking. He's kept going. He's kept moving. He's kept running a business. And we just speak blessing over you, Mark Forsyth, this morning. We pray, Father, that you would bless him. We ask that your healing anointing would come upon Mark today, that you would clear up whatever's going on in his entire digestive system, that he'd be able to eat without getting sick, that he'd be able to go through the day without stomach pain. We just say, Mark, you be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask, Father, that you would release the healing virtue of the risen Christ in the body of Mark Forsyth today. Mark, in Jesus' name, be healed. Be made whole. Lord, heal his digestive system today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Free him from this in Jesus' name. Be loose from it. Be loose from all infirmity. And may the healing anointing be loosed upon you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you may have a word of encouragement for Mark. You be faithful to that in Jesus' name. If you're getting something for someone, just be obedient. Be a blessing to someone. Feel free to linger long as you last, as you want to, and leave when you may want to. Worship team.